November 9th, 2002, Southern California College Conference, Special Afternoon Fellowship Concerning Education, Career, Marriage, and Family.
Okay, well, we said this morning that we'll have a little fellowship with all of us concerning some practical matters, right? And by practical matters, we mean things related to our human life. We are all made human beings by God. And so we are to live a human existence. Yet, we all have to remember the human life is not for itself. The human life is for God. The human existence, if it's only an end in itself, will be dismal, will be meaningless, will be empty. Only a life like the life of Miss Emmy Barber that is holy for God or holy unto God is a life that God has meant for the human being to live. God made man for himself. So the human life is dear to God and precious to him. God has an enemy. His name is Satan, and he's the devil. As God's adversary, he likes none other than to counter God's will. So he set his strategy, his plans, his devices to do just one thing, and that is to destroy and damage and corrupt the very human life that God has made for himself. And so you have in this universe a battle between God and Satan. But this afternoon, I'd like to impress all of you young people that you are the battleground. You are what God and Satan is fighting for. Who will determine the outcome of this battle? I would like to tell you, you will determine that. Because God, in making man, has given man a free will to choose. God is not in the arm-twisting business, forcing you or me to do something that we don't like to do. He rather would come to attract, to appear, to draw, to woo, and to win, so that voluntarily, with your own free will, you will align your life with his will. And by doing so, God's desire will be accomplished. However, you can also choose to align your will with a certain evil will in this universe. And many people, sorry to say, have chosen that course. And by doing so, you will help to fulfill Satan's will. But let me tell you, that will, seemingly prevailing, will only last for a time. God's will prevail for eternity. The unfortunate thing is that many were duped, were deceived by the devil for a moment of freedom, of pleasure, of the ability to do what one likes to do, having a good time, living a selfish life, have given up the birthright that came with their creation from God. They wasted what God had given to him for his inheritance, for his blessing, and for God's purpose. And for a moment in time, they what? They gave themselves to Satan the enemy. And as a result, their life is what? Is damaged. Becomes useless. And some even are destroyed. Their spiritual life, their psychological life, and in some cases, even their physical life. Well, this afternoon, with the background of Sister Emmy Barber's tape, I just like to appeal to all the young people that you, whether sisters or even brothers, you would aspire to be one like Miss Barber. I want nothing for myself. I want everything for the Lord. I wish so. Well, it is God's mercy and God's grace that will make us such. But I would like to tell you, you have to respond. You have to cooperate. You have to go along with the Lord for that to happen. And here we have witnessed a lady who has done that from her youth. And as a result, he became, her human life was entirely a proper, noble, most meaningful one. She lived the fullest human life there is to live, a life unto God. To this day, you cannot find her bones. You cannot find her remains. Her burial ground, as you have heard, was dug up and used for plantation over time. I don't know physically we can ever find her anymore. But that doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. This seed that was sown in China has blossomed. And as a result, I cannot tell you what is happening in China right now. Not entirely due to her, but due to many just like her. I can dare say even myself and so many of us today are the product, an issue of such a life. Now, this afternoon, I'm here not just to talk to you about the spiritual side, because this is what this conference is all about. I like to mingle that with something, with a burden I have concerning your human life, which is so vital, as I said just now. What? For the what? For the expression of the divine life. You see, you have a human life, but that human life is a vessel. It is a means for God's life to be expressed. In other words, God made you to express Him, not to express yourself. Now that is a very pregnant statement, and it's full of meaning, and I don't have the time to get into all of that, right? Well, I would say this much. That's why we need to eat Jesus. The main relationship between God and man as portrayed in the Bible is one of eating, because there's no picture like eating that shows the receiving of something organically into your being, being assimilated by you, and even becoming not just your supply, but even becoming your constitution. That by eating God, you will become God in essence. And therefore, your life will be one of expressing God, However, not expressing God like an angel, but expressing God like a man. That's what God wants. God manifested in the flesh. Great is the mystery of godliness. This is what God wants in the universe and on the earth today. Now, I'd like to talk to you about a few items, and I don't have time to develop them. Each one of these items deserve a lot more time. And my joy and my burden is to talk to the young people about these things. The few items that what Mike said are the pillars of your human life is, number one, I would just add one point that he didn't mention. I would like to add one point. And this point is called character. Your character, your human character. Actually, that means your human vessel. Number two, your education. Your education. The development of your intellect, of your knowledge, you see, even of your God-given faculty to know, to understand, to discern, to have wisdom, right? And number three, the other pillar of your human life is what? What? Is your what? Your lifelong career. Career. Your vocation. Your job, you see. That's important. That's important. And then the next point is what? Your what? Wow. Someone is very full of anticipation. Well, this is a big one. Marriage is a big one. Listen, let me just jump ahead right now. You, under God's ordination, get married only once. Now, that's the normal affair of things. All right, today, all this thing about, you know, well, I'll get into that. All right, you better make sure that you do it right the first time. The last thing I'd like to talk about is family. Family. Why family? You say, my goodness, this is like far, far beyond me as a college kid. I mean, what is this thing about family? Well, I'll tell you why. Because the view of a proper family is so crucial to God's economy. I don't have time, but you would need to see in the whole Bible the basic unit. The basic unit, human unit, for God's purpose is the family. All right. Now, obviously, I don't have time to cover all these major points, but I'll just pick up a few matters to just impress upon you, right, how crucial these things are. And hopefully, you will take note of them, you'll be serious about them, and you will, by doing so, live a life, a human life that is so what? So good for God. Now let me preface all of this by saying this one thing in Romans chapter 14. For whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Do you know that you have all been purchased with a price? The great price, that is the precious blood of the Lamb, and that you and I are not our own, that we belong to the Lord Jesus. I mean, really speaking, the first thing you need to come to terms with is that you don't have ownership over yourself anymore. If you don't come to terms with this basic fundamental matter, you're going to have struggle all your life. Almost every little thing will be a struggle between you and the Lord. But if you come to terms early, that will save you a lot of trouble. In this matter of marriage, in that matter of education, in this matter, in everything, Lord, I am not my own. And then it says, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. I am the Lord's. There's such a hymn. I am the Lord's. I have no right over myself. Lord, you have full right over me. Whatever in all these human things, you have the full say. You have the full decision. You have the full right. That's the way to live a Christian life, and that is the meaning of consecration. Number two, the other matter that will control all these human things is that all of this is for God's eternal purpose. Not for your purpose, but for God's purpose. So whenever you're faced with any of these decisions, the first prayer you pray is not what or how or who. The first prayer is say, Lord, Lord, how is this? Or where is this in the context of your will? You know, I tell a lot of people that the popular Christian prayer to pray, Lord, what is your will for my life, is absolutely the wrong prayer to pray. Lord, what is your will for my life? That means your life is still the center. What's your will for my life? No, you should pray the other way. What is my life for your will? You better turn this thing around. Your life is not the center of the universe. His will is. We all have to be the little planets that surround him as the sun. Don't be mistaken. Your life is not the center of this system here. When you revolve around him, when we all revolve around him, then things will be in order. Your life will be in order. I'll tell you right now, while right now many of your lives are in some kind of turmoil. You're unsettled. You're not peaceful. You're not satisfied. You're not sure. I tell you, a big part, because the center is still your life and not his will. So submit yourself in all these items to God's eternal will. Seek his kingdom, and all these things will be added to you. Now, very quickly, first thing, as young people, to be useful to the Lord for his purpose, you have to take care of is a good human character. I say it again, this means a proper human vessel. You know, we human beings are just vessels to contain God. You know that? That's what we're good for. You see, without God, we're empty. But this vessel has to be the right one. Has to be a proper one. So when we say to have a proper human character, we don't mean so that you'll be just goody-goody, you will be what? You know, acclaimed, you'll be known as Mr. Perfect. No, no. To have a good character is so that you can contain and display God as he wants. Now, this good character includes a lot of things. Lot of things. I tell you today, there is not sufficient proper building up of the human character in this young generation. Now, I've seen people who are quite accomplished in other fields, but have a lousy character. Right? Well, this character includes a lot of things. A certain kind of integrity, a kind of honesty. Am I right? All these things about Enron and WorldCom, what is that? Right? That is character corrupted. You need, and I need, a character that is upright as God meant it to be. You need to be diligent. You need to be industrious. You need to be compassionate. You need to be stable. You need to be strong, right? You need to be broad. You need to be magnanimous. All these things. But I would like to say something today. That, what? Brothers and sisters, you need to invite the Lord into your character building. We are not here in the church a reform school, you know. We're not the military, you know. Shave your head, you know, make you all the same. Actually, inside, nothing has changed, right? You need to invite the Lord. Lord, do something to my character. I would like to say, especially this one point, when it comes to the matter of character, you need, and I need to be broken by the Lord. Our old, you know, makeup and character needs to be broken by the Lord. We need to acquire, build up a what? A new character in Christ. There's a little book among us called Character. You can buy that book. It's very, very helpful. That book is like lots of mirrors showing you, exposing you. What's wrong with you? You know what I mean? You think I'm pretty good. You know. You read that book. You would like to, like me, you would like to find a hole and crawl into it. Every time, still even today, when I read that book, I want to do that. It is so shameful. There's one human being who has the top character, and that's Jesus. Amen. We need the character of Christ. We need the virtues of this God-man. I like to especially underline one particular character trait among so many important and necessary ones. And that is an unselfish character. You know, one thing that characterizes young people is selfishness. Don't argue with me. All right? Don't argue with me. Selfish. Just selfish. Plain selfish. And today's computer doesn't help. Doesn't give you relief from this. You know why? Because you can go into a brother's house, everyone has their computer. You don't need to talk to anyone anymore. You just talk to your computer. You are just day and night engrossed in a world of self. You forgot the world exists. You forgot there are other human beings around you. You forgot there are brothers and sisters. You are just in your little world. What's good for me? What takes care of me? What's in the refrigerator for me? It's all me and me and me. So they call it the me generation. You know, you are the me generation. I tell you, the ultimate salvation of God, or one part of it, is salvation from selfishness. To have a heart for the Lord and to have a heart for man. And to have that, your old selfish character needs to be broken. I tell you, if you have a selfish character, you can never express the Lord, and you can never be useful to the Lord. In your 4 years of college years, I challenge you, brothers and sisters, use these 4 years not just to bang around, not just to have fun. In these 4 years, build up a good character. There is in the book of Judges that says the divisions of Reuben have great resolutions in their heart. I tell you, when I was young, this verse captured me. I don't want to live a life just like anybody else. And I don't mean I'm better. I have resolutions in my heart. I am here to live a life for God. I am living a life unto God. And therefore, everything about me, I have to take care of. I want the very best. Use the 4 years. Don't waste the 4 years. Use these 4 years. You can, in the brothers and sisters' houses, in so many aspects, when you are not, you know, you are not burdened down with a lot of things that when you'll be burdened down with when you're older. Use these 4 years. These 4 years are crucial in building up your character. When everything is going down the tank, you know, everything is going down this way, you go this way. I challenge you. I challenge you to be different. Okay, I challenge you to live Christ. Okay, now, I better move on quickly. Build up your character. The second thing is what? What is the second thing? Education. Well, I don't need to say you all should be in college, right? You are in an education. But it's one thing to be in college, it's another thing to be in college. Some are in college just to what? Have fun. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, life is not about fun. You better get this down now. Life is not about fun. Wake up. If you want to stay in that dream, you'll be in a, that dream will lead you to nightmares. I don't mean life is not enjoyable. I don't mean there's no fun in human life. I don't mean that. But we don't exist for fun. Fun should not be what drives you when you wake up in the morning or when you go to bed at night. No. Yet today, this is a fun-driven society we live in. And the college life is just basically a fun-filled place. Right? You go there to do whatever, right? You drink, you smoke, you party the night away. For what? For fun. Go to school, brothers and sisters, and get a good education. Now, this is not a very popular advice, right? Go to school and get a good education. Not for yourself, for God. You need the best education. I challenge you to get the best education. I don't mean you have to go to Harvard. You can go to a community college, yet you are there striving for the best. Do what you can do that God has given you. Don't discount what the Lord has given to you. And the Lord has given to all of us different things, different capacities. Don't squander it. But don't do it for your own gain, for your own ambition. Do it for the Lord. You need a good education in order that you can understand what? You can what? You can know even the things of God. You have to know to what? Study the Bible, right? You have to need so many basic things in human life, in human society. You need a skill, right? You need a skill. None of us should aspire to be a bum. Get the best education and then put it down for the Lord. How about I challenge you to do that? We need a lot of pillar builders. You know, in the Bible, there's a pillar builders. We need a lot of wise people that can build God's house today. Some of you need to, what? Be able to eventually study Greek, right? Study Hebrew, right? So many things. I study what? I study architecture. So I'm quite happy to find out that God is an architect. Do you know that? In Hebrews, it talks about that holy city, the city that Abraham looks toward to. It says whose architect and maker is God. So I'm in the same profession as God. But anyway, now I don't practice architecture. I haven't practiced architecture for a long time. But I got license, I got this and that. And at the time when the Lord said, drop it, I drop it. But that doesn't mean all those trainings were vain. All those training was very good for me. To train my mind, to train my being, right? To train me in many ways for the Lord. Whatever the Lord may need us for. But I would like to caution you, talk about going to school. Always, this is my pet talk, right? Stay away. You don't need to study philosophy. All right? I mean that is like basket weaving. To me it's equal to basket weaving. It's not good for anything. You see. Don't make philosophy a major. And also don't major in religion. You have enough already. You know what I mean? You don't need more. You're born pretty religious already. You're okay. So don't study those things. Right? Study something useful, something study you're interested in. Right? God never wants you to study that you don't like. Right? But study something that is useful, something that is practical. All right? And brothers and sisters, study hard. Will you? You know, tonight, I have my cannons ready. You know, I bring my cannons with me. My cannon these days, already like Dennis is talking about, is very much aimed at computer games. So, I'll leave that for tonight. But I'll tell you one thing, especially the brothers who are engrossed in computer games. I tell you, if nothing else, nothing, all the bad things, I don't talk about, but one thing, it will waste your time. And time is not just money, as they say in the world. I tell you, time is your life. And I would even say time is the Lord. I've seen brothers who get engrossed, and I would even use the word, sorry, addicted. This is an addiction. Computer games is an addiction just like drugs, just like gambling. Sorry. That's what it is. I mean, what can keep you up till 5 o'clock in the morning? Huh? If it's not drugs. Am I right? I mean, these people who have to go every weekend to Las Vegas to do this, that is an addiction. Don't be in denial about it. It is an addiction. And this addiction, if you don't cure it, if you don't get rescue out of it, will just suck you right into the abyss. If nothing else, it will waste your time. I've seen brothers getting into this, and their grades just fall like a stone in the water. I think it is a shame that we, any one of us who get into probation, academic probation, is not right. Am I right? You have a mind. You have a heart to study. You have the time, but you waste the time. No, brothers and sisters, study hard. Get the best grades. Get your degree in 4 years, not 10. I'm serious. For the Lord. I'm talking about this for the Lord. And this full-time training that we're talking about, if you don't have a four-year degree, you can't come. You can't come. You're not even qualified to come. The standard is quite high because it is a great thing to come to the full-time training. It's not for those who slouch their life away. There is an important thing in this universe that is happening right now. Then, what else? What else are we talking about? Career. Career. All right. I don't have that much time. Okay. What career path, right? Well, I'm not a career counselor, all right? So I'm not going to talk to you about what career path. But I would just say again, whatever it is, make sure it is not something that will usurp you. Amen. Usurp you from what? From the Lord and the church, Amen. Especially the church life. What good is it that you can make a lot of bucks, but you have to work 100 hours a week? You have no church life. You have no time even for the Lord. Do something practical. Do something that is a contribution, right? But I would just say, seek first the kingdom in this matter. For some of you, the Lord may have already planted a seed in your heart, maybe through a video like this. What seed? A seed to serve Him. To serve Him with your full time or your life. It's possible. Now, is that a career? I don't know. But that's definitely a calling of the Lord. Now, I move on to the delicious part now, right? I actually am running out of time already. I have about only 5 more minutes. On marriage, I would say continue what I shared earlier. According to the Bible, a man and a woman should get married only once. Don't take what is happening today as the norm. That is abnormal. Right now, in the U.S. of A., the divorce rate is at 50%. That means one out of every 2 marriages is destined to fail. Okay? Now, I'm going to tell you there are a lot of reasons for failed marriages. One reason is because people get into it in too light and loose of a way. In other words, they got married without being ready for marriage. Not to mention the fact that they got married not with something what? Something of the Lord in view. Speaking to college students, I would like to say this. You may think I am this guy from China, some kind of Asian culture or something like that. Hey, listen, we are in America. This is America. Well, I have news for you. I have lived in this country longer than you have lived on the earth. I came to this country in 1967. Now, how many of you are born at that time? Not too many, right? So I've lived here longer than you. So I know America. Don't say I don't know. I know it more than you do. I am an observer of the American culture. I study the American people. I tell you, I love this country. I'm naturalized, but I love this country. I believe God has destined this country for His purpose. And I, yet at the same time, I grieve, I weep for this country because of what Satan has done and is still doing, especially on the young generation. Particularly in this matter of marriage. Brothers and sisters, you can afford to wait. Now, what do I mean by this? I am trying to touch this one thing called dating. Dating. You know, dating is an American invention, you know? Just like going steady is an American invention, right? Now it's spread through the whole world. You know what is dating? Do you know what dating is? Dating is to sample the goods. Right? Truth be told. Am I right? I'm not sure about Dennis, so I'm going to date Dennis. Okay, just as an example, right? So sample the goods. I tell you, people who are in that scene and get into all this kind of thing, and sorry, today the television promote this, the dating game or something like that. Oh, I don't know what they call it. Am I right? The dating game. I tell you, you know what it's promoting? It is promoting lust. It is promoting fornication. It is promoting the damage of the human vessel. I tell you, if you are dating all around like this kind of way, when you become what? Number one, used good. And worse yet, you become damaged goods. I don't go out there and spend money to buy used goods. If I buy something, I'm going to buy something new. You know what I mean? If God wants something, He wants something new and fresh. The Bible says we are all virgins betrothed unto Christ. The Lord doesn't want used goods. You know what I mean by that. I tell you, dating leads to fornication. Dating leads, opens the door to a multitude of immoral activities. Dating damages your human vessel. The word that came to me today is hold marriage in honor. I tell you, that's not for just people who have gotten married. Even before you got married, you have to hold marriage in honor. You have to preserve your vessel for that day. You have to preserve your vessel for a proper marriage. So it says, flee fornication in 1 Thessalonians. Sanctify your vessel for the Lord and even for a proper marriage, which is for God. Oh, I tell you, a good and proper marriage is for the kingdom. Amen. Preserve yourself. Keep yourself. And sorry to say, this young generation, it seems like I'm here patronizing you. I'm here scolding you. I'm not. I told you I'm an observer. I tell you, today's young generation is just not as matured as some of the past generation of the same age. You're not ready to make certain decisions. You're not ready to bear certain responsibility. You're not ready to have those kids. You know what I mean? Today, there's so many kids born out of wedlock, people who are not ready. You're not ready. In this matter, I would advise you, you just consecrate yourself to the Lord. I don't mean you should not get married. And I'm not here preaching abstinence, as they call it. I am saying preserve yourself for the proper marriage for the Lord and His purpose. And lastly, on family. By family, I do mean that you have to pray to the Lord that when the day comes, you will have a proper family, not for yourself again, but for the Lord. But today, you are in certain kind of family already, right? You have some parents, right? Am I right? I would like to also tell you, brothers and sisters, honor your parents. The Bible has a promise for physical longevity. Can you believe it? Physical longevity if you honor your parents. Now, that doesn't mean when your parents tell you to steal, you go steal something. That's not the Bible's meaning for honoring your parents. All right? That doesn't mean you obey everything they say. You want to follow the Lord, you have to follow the Lord, regardless of what they say. But you have to honor your parents. Right? Don't be rebellious, children. Rebellion is of Satan. Okay, I think this is good enough for me, as I went over time already. I know after this talk I have made myself much less popular. But I'm not here for no popularity contest. My heart, the Lord knows, is for all of us. That in 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, friends, sisters, you will be the one who will take the Lord's recovery onwards. Amen. We pray and cry out to the Lord that He would raise up many a useful vessels among us, like Miss Emmy Barber. Amen. That can what? That can fulfill His purpose and bring this age to an end. May the Lord bless all of us, right? We're even with this little fellowship. Okay.